Hello and greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos.
With Sister Amen. Hope you're all doing well.
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Sister Amen?
I'm doing very well in the Lord.
Yeah, we have a call coming up with some brothers, so we wanted to do our audio edification, get it done early. So let's get right to it.
We're getting it done today and not tomorrow.
Yeah, we traveled a short distance today to get to another town, headed to our preach this weekend. We'll tell you more about that coming up in the days ahead. And we got to park by a beautiful lake and a little river, work online. We flew gospel signs and got some ministry things done. We got some practical things done.
Yeah.
What's on your mind today, Sister Amen? What can you share and edify us with?
Well, I took a little walk today and went to another park. It was right across the street, and it was really pretty. And while I was walking and thinking, I was like, I need to get back and get some things done. But I forced myself to go through the park and then come back through the other way. Made some videos I'll put at the top of the page for today.
Nice.
And I was thinking how oftentimes, you know, it's awesome to recreate, but sometimes you have to force yourself to do it.
Yeah.
To settle yourself. You know, there's so many things going on. You want to get them done, but you sometimes have to make yourself stop and take that time so the Lord can cleanse you and fill you with
peace. It's discipline.
It is, yeah.
We did that. We went down by the river, took our shoes off, and you and I put our feet in for a while.
Yep.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Lasted about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't take long to, and that's part of the point. It really doesn't take long to just stop your world from going and going and going and restarting yourself in the Lord, and it makes the rest of the day go better.
Maybe we need to practice that. You and I are always been kind of doers, and we're not real good sitters. Maybe we need to practice that a little bit more sometimes.
I'm kind of thinking that today.
Yeah.
But all good either way.
Yeah. I got a verse-by-verse study done. Philippians, working through Philippians 4. Pretty excited. I'm getting ready to start Revelation verse-by-verse after we finish the book of Philippians. But I got through Philippians 10, and right before that, obviously, it's verse 8. And verse 8 is like one of the bedrock verses for Sister Amen and I when we were first born again. Whatever is good, pure, true, worthy, lovely. And I was just thinking about that, how if we would build our lives upon those things and trust in the Spirit of God, check out that verse by verse. Mm-hmm. It'll be up at the verse by verse area, Don't Perish. And it talks about how we can have the peace of God, how we get the peace of God. We're supposed to ask for things by prayer and supplication. Supplication means asking. So you can pray to God without asking, but he tells us to pray and to ask, and then we get the peace of God, and then we have a part in keeping the peace because we're working in unison with the Lord. So check out that verse by verse. Check out Philippians 4:8. It's always, no matter what you're doing in your life, it's always a good thing. If you say, I wonder if I should be doing this. Is this of God? Is this his will? Is it good? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it a virtue? Is it worthy? It's a good test to take.
It is, yeah. I love that. And like Brother Tupo said, it was one of our foundational verses for helping clean out our life.
Yeah, we had nobody to help us.
Yeah, and I just want to read the first part of it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true.
Wow.
That right there, I'm just going to
stop
tell
right
you,
there.
Sisters, yeah, I went.
That throws out most everything.
I went through my life, and as we were going as new creations in Christ, I was like, "That's not true. That's not true." Half the time, I didn't even get partway through the rest of the scriptures, and it was like done at true, and it was gone, and I just threw it all out right on that word. And then obviously, if there's any that get through that, then we got to filter them through the rest. So, yeah.
And why does that matter? Because the Lord says we must worship in spirit and truth.
Right. We were raised in lies and deception in Satan's kingdom.
Amen. So. Yeah. So check out that verse by verse. I think you'll be blessed. And stay tuned for Revelation coming up verse by verse. And then I had another thought. We were dealing with a man who was thinking about coming into fellowship with us. Don't know where that's going to go. And he's got a ministry. And I honor his zeal. He's got zeal, but then again, you got to be careful. So do the Mormons, so do the Jehovah's Witnesses, so do the Catholics and the Muslims. Mm-hmm. This man's ministry isn't really built on the biblical gospel. We told him that. This isn't gossip. We told him right to his face in love. And he has a lot of issues, unbiblical issues. We'll call it sin, false teaching. And I was thinking about how when you go into ministry too quickly, whether you haven't studied yourself, like Sister Amma and I had to do, we had nobody to help us. So we had to study to make sure when we went into ministry, we were in truth. We didn't just fly into ministry and then go, oh, we got a bunch of things that are untrue. We said, what's true? What's true? What's true? What's true? And right. then we focused and did that which is true. Guess what? If you do that, you're never teaching false. right. And when we started, we weren't teaching everything, but whatever we were teaching was true.
Right.
And what happens is men don't do that and women don't do that. And so now if he wants to have fellowship, he's going to have to peel back his ministry. We told him that. He's going to have to put it on hold. He's going to have to get himself biblical, vet out his whole ministry. And what does that create, Sister Amma, in a woman or a man when they're already out doing ministry, feeding the homeless, doing all this stuff? Now they got to correct ship. What can that create?
On a good note, it could create a humble person
right.
if they repent of it all.
But most often, what does it create?
It creates somebody who runs away from the truth because they have pride and they want to keep what they have and they're too ashamed to put it down for the truth. They'd rather keep yeah. going where they're going.
Yeah, they got a whole bunch of connections. They have a whole ministry built. They'd have to look hypocritical because they got to change everything. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's pride. And so hopefully this man will take those steps to correct it and we can have fellowship with him. But I was just thinking about that. If you go into ministry, make sure you have godly brethren that can approve of it for you. That's a great thing to have. If you don't have godly brethren, which are very few, then make sure you study real hard to make sure everything you're doing is the truth and never do anything outside or beyond the truth. And you just start doing stuff for the sake of doing it. What if it's not true? Uh-oh. I'll give you an example. This guy lines up tables of all kinds of food and feeds the homeless over and over and over and over. And I asked him, aren't you just propping up their addiction life, their lazy life, their life where they won't work and they're just using you for food? And he goes, I guess I never thought of that. Jesus didn't do that. I said, Jesus waited 3 days to feed people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I guess I didn't think of that. So I was teaching him to feed people when they're hungry. Give them the gospel, and then if they don't want the gospel and they don't want to work, you don't keep feeding people. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
That's a path to starvation, but that's what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking about people that are armless and legless either. We're talking about people that refuse to submit to get rid of their drugs and alcohol and all that and to get themselves cleaned up to work. So we don't want to enable them. So that was my thought about making sure you go into ministry, make sure it's biblical, and you're not going to have to undo what you've done.
Right. You mentioned, you know, if you have godly brethren to help oversee it.
Yeah. Give you advice, opinions.
I would say, are you listening to this audio?
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody's listening to right. the audio, there's godly brethren right here.
Right. They could test us. And if they think that me and my brothers have yeah. good discernment, well, they can come and have unity and fellowship and then have oversight so that people could say, test my ministry.
Right.
Maybe I'm missing something. Okay. Well, I welcome any man to test my ministry. What am I missing? What do I have wrong? And I love to be tested. You got to bring the word. I don't want to hear, I think, I feel, I believe. I want to see the word.
Right.
But so yeah, we're here to help anybody. So that's mm-hmm. a good point, Sister Amma.
Yep.
Also, I guess, oh, I want, yeah. 1 Thess 5, I got to throw in there. It's another base verse for us. Test all things. Make sure that we're proving and testing all things.
Right.
Sister Amma, do you have something on your mind you want to share? I got a few more things to share, but
I do. I have a couple.
Good. Go for them.
I was just reading through Matthew. I was looking for a passage, and I came across this one. And it made me think of this. Matthew 21:15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, meaning Jesus, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So I was looking at that. They saw the wonderful things he did, and they were displeased. And it's kind of like today, you know, we go out on the streets or in your daily lives, and you're doing good and pure and true and noble and worthy things like Philippians 4:8, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And people call it self-righteous yeah. and pious. And
yeah, because we're enemies legalist. Of the world.
Yeah, so the people, the enemies of the word, like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the enemies today are sore displeased
yeah.
with the good works of the Lord that are going out. I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And our enemies would love to see us fall, quit, fall into sin, ruin our reputation and our witness. But by God's grace and his word, that ain't going to happen. We're going to strive on.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a great point. Maybe that fits in with my point. I had a man email me from the other side of the world, and I may have broached on this, but I thought it was worth talking about again. I talked about, like, one thing I think I need to work on is my patience. And you can hear that in the Ecclesia gathering. We talked about patience. All of us brothers are taking turns talking about where we need to improve. We've got like a list of five things that we each think we need to improve on. We're going through them one by one. But I said patience, and I was talking about, for me, it's removing the things that cause frustration that press my patience beyond where they should go. I think I have patience for people that are like long-suffering, or I'm sorry, trying to work out their issues, their sin, and they're trying. I think I have patience for that. Where I lose my patience is with people that just continue to sin, continue to ignore God's truth, and continue to use God's people. And I think false teachers, if you get too close to them, if you let those people stay too close to your life and you try to keep redeeming, guess what? Bible tells us we're not supposed to do that. Jesus said, especially when they're rejecting truth, Matthew 7:6, give not which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them and their feet under their feet and turn and rend you. So one of the keys to patience I was talking about was not going too far and turning away from people you should turn away from and cutting off all association. Well, a man on the other side of the planet heard that teaching and he said, I've practiced that now with my family. And he said, it's removed a bunch of frustration from me. Sister Amin, did it help you when you were first a believer to remove your worldly, false religious family from you? Did that help you remove like frustration? And then you no longer had to try to deal with patience because the Bible says to pluck them out.
Right, because in your flesh, which we're not supposed to be walking in,
right,
but also the spirit too, you want to keep warning them about the lies that they're in man-made religion, and yeah, you can keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And when you're brand new in the faith, you don't realize, right, you know, you might have overstepped it. And right, yeah, it does kind of push your patience somewhat. And then you gotta be obedient.
Oh, yeah.
And know when to, there's no black or white. There's a gray line there, but you got to know when to stop that, cut that off and be set free.
Paul says in Titus 3, warn him once, warn him twice, a heretic, and avoid him.
Yeah.
Two times. That's what it says.
Yeah.
So you get a modern churchgoer and they don't listen to sound doctrine. You warn them, then warn them again, then cut them off and avoid them. I think when we were brand new believers, we gave people 57 chances. And that wasn't right. We didn't know better, but that wasn't right. And that stretched our patience. It caused frustration, caused confusion. If we would have plucked them out when the Bible said, our energy would have been focused in a better direction.
Right. And I want to go back and clarify something I said when I said there's no black and white. I didn't get to finish what I was thinking. And that is, for those of them, they reject it, but yet there could be some they either pretend,
right,
or they're somewhat curious, but they're still rejecting it and they're still asking questions, almost to the point of you're not exactly sure if they're asking to know,
yeah,
or if they're asking to just push it, push back.
Yeah.
Those are the confusing, yep, ones where it's no black and white, where you, right, go, oh, I can see you're pushing back. You're,
yeah,
done. But it's those confusing ones, yep, that after a period of time, you're like, yeah, I can see what they're doing. You got to, yeah, cut it off.
Yeah, so it was pretty awesome. This person saw this all the way across the world, listened to the audio, and plucked out trying what he was doing and how he was doing it. And it actually blessed him. So obeying the word of God can be a great blessing. Now he's, mm-hmm, focused on his life, his walk, his training, rather than worrying about people that were just trampling the truth.
Right. Amen.
So that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I had to talk about was experiential testimonies. There's a famous man, he's a college football coach, and a lot of people are talking about him, and he claims to be a born-again Christian. That's why he's on my radar. And he goes around praying and saying Jesus' name while he's doing all this worldly, sports, covetous, violent football. And he wears all kinds of chains and bling, and he dresses like a worldly, carnal man, but he puts Jesus on the top of his worldly, carnal life. Well, he's got a testimony out there that nobody can tell him about the gospel. Why? Because in a hotel room, he met Jesus, and lights came on, and the wind blew, and papers blew all over, and he knows God's real, and God didn't call him to the pulpit, and God didn't call him to be perfect. I'm using his exact words. God called him to the football field. And that's just a false conversion that doesn't have any repentance and holiness and leaving the world. So I'm going to be putting a testing on him. His name's Deion Sanders, by the way. I'm going to be putting a testing up of him. But I wanted to warn you about people, maybe it's you, I don't know if you're listening, experiential testimonies. Sister Amin, have we had a lot of people that say that they're born again or say that they know God or say that they met God, and it's all a bunch of signs and wonders, experiential things that don't match up to God's word?
Yeah, I can't even count how many of them they were.
Yeah.
in our life, and we tried to get them to see that that's not how God operates. He operates through the truth and his word. And
remember not long ago, we talked to a lady in a gas station, walked up to us, and she said, oh,
yeah,
I'm all tingly, and I'm feeling all warm and tingly just talking to you. And we're like, that's probably not the Holy Spirit. And that's not the Holy Spirit.
She had some very strange happenings. Yeah, and every single one of the people that we've run into that had those mystical experiences, they've either just gone back in the world or never progressed into full holiness.
They go further into false doctrine and more signs and wonders.
Yeah,
so
they follow their flesh right in it.
Go read Matthew 24. Our master warns us in the last days there are going to be many false teachers, and they're going to be Satan's going to be doing signs and wonders. I believe the New Apostolic Reformation, the Word of Faith, all these mystical cult groups are practicing their signs and wonders, and the Antichrist is going to come and deceive everybody with that, and we're going to see that when we study the book of Revelation verse by verse. And so be careful of experiential testimonies. Your testimony should match the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Savior, and the Father. It shouldn't match all of these crazy signs and wonders that really has Satan at his root. So that's just something to think about. Test everything. Anything else, Sister Ummond? What do you have to share with us? I just have one more scripture verse after this. That's all.
Well, I do have a thought here.
Your thought with us.
Well, a couple days ago, I shared some encouragement for sisters who are raising children.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wanted to give
a little bit
more encouragement. I was thinking about Hannah. 1 Samuel 1:11. Hannah wanted to have a baby, and she didn't have one, so she was praying to the Lord, and she said if she did have one, she would devote him to the Lord. And she vowed, it was 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And I just wanted, I think about that, and I look at that and see that children, they're not ours. You know, we can become attached to them in the flesh because as mothers, they're in our womb. We're thinking about them. And when they're born, we go through the travail of childbirth. There's a connection. They're on our chest. They're eating from us. You know, we're nursing them and we cling to them in the flesh. But we have to remember they might grow up and hate the Lord. And so we have to remember that they're not ours. We're to raise them for the Lord and we hope they serve him. But as we have children, we have to make sure that we are giving them to the Lord and not clinging to them in our flesh.
Amen.
And that's something even as they're older and they grow up, and even if they don't serve the Lord, you still have to cut that off and be able to turn and move on. So just some ideas.
I just thought of something. A brother not long ago said that even the angels don't get to suffer persecution for Christ, but we do as humans. And I thought that was pretty profound. You know what you just made me think of? Men never get to do this for the Lord, but women do. Women can offer up the fruit of their womb to God, and men can never do that. That's a blessing that women get to do. They get to have a baby, and they get to say, Lord, even though I carried it, I nursed it, he's not mine, she's not mine, they're yours, Lord. And that's an awesome sacrifice and offering that a woman gets to do that a man can never do, because it's just not the same. They don't literally come from our body, and there's not that connection, especially with an infant, with a dad versus a mom. So women get to do that. What an awesome thing.
Right, and it talks about childbearing in women.
Yep.
So yeah, that's an awesome perception on there. Yeah, that is a great sacrifice.
Yep, it is.
To kill your flesh over and over and over, to cut that literal and figuratively umbilical cord.
Yeah,
you know.
So
what
hopefully,
I'm saying?
It's not an umbilical cord.
Yeah. So
be an Abraham.
Sisters.
Be an Abraham, right? Women.
Be
an Abraham. Abraham took his son to the desert and had the knife in the air, was ready to sacrifice him. Well, God's not going to ask you to kill your child, sacrifice him that way, but God's going to say, "Give him unto me. He's not yours."
Right.
And you better be ready to do that.
Yeah. So it's good to start early.
Otherwise, he's an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. So good job, sisters. Keep pressing on.
Amen. Train him up in the admonition of the Lord and break his will while he's little, so that he's ready to give his will over to the Lord when he's of age.
Right. And little girls too, because they can have attitudes.
Oh, yeah.
You said
his or hers. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, we got to go get ready for a brother's call. I just wanted to give one scripture verse. If you have anything else, Sister Ahmed?
I do.
Go ahead.
Verse.
Oh, yeah. You got a verse? You share your verse.
Yeah, Luke 19:3-6. And this is about Zacchaeus. I love this story. I love it. It just shows his energy and his zeal to go after Jesus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I love this right here. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just makes me smile. Yeah, the guy, I love that.
Well, he was diligent in his effort to see the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews that God rewards those that diligently seek him. I would say he was diligently seeking the Lord.
Oh, he was. Let's be that way, sisters.
You know what? There's one story better than that. A little bit better.
What?
In the New Testament. Which one do you think it is? There's a whole bunch of them. You know what I'm thinking about?
I don't know which one you're thinking.
I'm thinking about the guys that took their crippled friend and ripped the roof open.
Oh, I love that one. Oh, I love that one.
They ripped the roof open and lowered the guy down on a rope. Can you imagine risking your friend's life? Lower him down on a rope to get close to Jesus. People would say, are you crazy? And they're like, well, no, we just want to get close to the Lord.
That's what we should do. Let's rip the roofs down.
Well, we risk
after
our
we
life.
Shout from the rooftops the gospel.
Yeah, we risk our lives to get close to the Lord in this culture. I'll tell you that's for sure. Anything else, Sister Amma? Is that it?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I just have one verse to share about receiving from the Lord, lest we reject him. Jeremiah 32:33, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. That's not good. Though I taught them rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Talking about the stiff-necked Israelites. Instruction, that's sound doctrine. Let that not be so of us saints, brothers and sisters. Let us make sure that we're walking in sound doctrine. Let us receive everything that the Lord has for us. Cling to Christ. Hold fast to Yeshua, the Hebrew word. That's Christ. It means salvation. You want salvation? Cling to Yeshua, Christ Jesus. He is our salvation. The good news is his death, burial, and resurrection, and then our repentance to him, to new life, being born again, to walk in holiness and obey him with all that we are and endure to the end. It's what he did for us, the perfect work we need. We can't work our way. And then our response to it, it's a covenant we join. Hopefully you're in the blood covenant, striving for the kingdom of God. We're here to help you.
Amen.
And we got to hit the road. We got to drive a little ways before we do our brother's call. So hope that was a blessing to you. And we're here for you anytime. Check out all of the resources. Check out that verse by verse. Check out those awesome videos Sister Amma's going to put up. And Sister Amma and I have a question and a favor to ask of you.
What?
Will you make me a cup of coffee before our call?
Of course I will.
My old preacher's voice needs a hot cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
It's cool here where we are now, and hot cup of coffee always good for my throat.
Yeah, and you know what? I forgot I made a sister sharing audio today this morning.
Good,
so
I'm glad you remembered
thoughts
that.
Thoughts in the morning. Oh. It's already up there, but I'll put it at the top of the
You're going to put a link.
Today. Yep.
Check it all out. We love you all. Strive for the kingdom of God.
Amen. May God be praised.